Amen. Amen. You guys can take your seats. Thank you, Pastor T. Well, I just want to say I'm very proud of all of you guys. You're here on a holiday week. You made it here. And I looked around during worship, and I was so excited because I just saw energy. I saw life. And God's here. And, you know, when you eat too much turkey, sometimes that you're not so energetic or light or full of life on that weekend. And maybe too much pumpkin pie if you're me. But you're here. I'm just so thankful for God's presence, for his life here, and for you guys coming, just joining us today, whether it's your first time or whether you're visiting family or whatever. We're just grateful that you're here. And I believe God has something for every single one of us today. And I'm excited to continue and share out of our Live to Give series that Pastor Thomas started last week. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Eli. I'm the associate pastor here at Rev City Church, and I'm excited to get to share with you this morning. Before I do, I kind of wanted to just take a moment and celebrate and share a couple stories of what God did last weekend. Pastor T shared with you the numbers, but I think it's important to share some stories and let the testimonies and the things that God did just encourage us and spark faith in us for what he wants to do, because that's a key to the kingdom, is overcoming the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I want to share with you, you know, these are actually stories from our groups that went out. So their experiences as teams going out of those 40-plus teams. So this one, I just want to read it to you because I think it's powerful just to hear it from the words of the team and their experience. It says this: "We met Joyce in the Checkers parking lot. She was unloading her car of recyclables, and we felt called to approach her. As we neared her car with our bags of groceries, we quickly put them down to give her a hand with the recyclables. This was God's way of allowing us to connect with her in a personal way and meet a present need. As we were unloading the recycling, she offhandedly mentioned she was going to stop and pick up her Thanksgiving groceries that afternoon. Again, God was opening doors for us. We returned to the car with her and let her know that we felt led to give her the Thanksgiving meal we had with us. At first, she declined the offer, but we let her know that we got a sense that it would really take a lot off her plate to take the meal and just take the blessing, and she agreed and was extremely thankful. We offered to pray for her, and she quickly mentioned her daughter had been in and out of the hospital lately. There were many health complications with her daughter, which had left her partially paralyzed and questioning God. We prayed over her and her daughter for healing and breakthrough. We prayed that she would feel God's joy, his love, as he lifted her burdens from her. When we stopped praying, she was crying. She was so incredibly thankful that we took time to stop and bless her physical needs as well as pray blessing and healing on her family. It was an amazing encounter." That's awesome. Come on, that's worth celebrating right there. Can I do one more? Another one. "As we were out delivering meals, I want to do two more, so just hold on there. As we're out delivering meals, we got a few different senses of where God was leading us to give out our blessing bag, which was a spontaneous meal. We had everybody had meals to deliver to set locations, and the blessing bag was a meal to give to whoever God called you to give it to. So we were praying, seeking the Lord, and looking to see where he wanted us to invest. And so first we drove to a home where we had given a meal to the previous year. Upon arrival, we noticed that another group was already scheduled at that home. Next, we went to a home. Again, this is kind of a searching out process, which is so helpful to see. Went to a home across the street from a group member's home. We knocked and no one answered. A group member felt like he was hearing God say high school. We made a pit stop and then drove through a nearby apartment complex next to the high school. No one was there. As we neared the high school, we noticed the parking lot was empty. As we pulled in the driveway, another car entered at the exact same time. We casually approached the woman entering the school. She worked there and was trying to finish some lesson plans before the next day. We let her know that we had gotten a sense that we were supposed to deliver a meal to someone at this exact spot and that God had led us to her. She instantly started crying. She said that she'd been meaning to go to the store for a long time but had so many work burdens that she hadn't been able to. She was so taken that we would approach her and offer her this free meal. She allowed us to load it into her car. We offered to pray for her, and during the prayer, she let us know that she had skin cancer. We prayed for her physical and spiritual healing, as well as her many work stresses. She was so incredibly grateful for the free meal and couldn't stop thanking us enough. She said, "Nothing like this ever happens to me." God truly scheduled an appointment. Amen. I want to share one more just because it was so unique. With our group, we had our last spontaneous meal we were going to give. We were driving around with my boys and then Aaron Humphreys, Pastor Thomas' son, and we were asking the kids to pray and ask the Lord to see where we were supposed to go with that meal. And one of the kids said, a lady with a red sweatshirt, and someone said blue jeans. So, all right, we're going to look for this. So we're driving through neighborhoods, and all of a sudden we go down this cul-de-sac, and there's a lady walking up her driveway with a red sweatshirt and blue jeans. And I was like, wow. But then we noticed this individual went to our church. And we're like, well, that's crazy. First of all, we're all the way across town. And so I went to leave. I'm like, but the Lord said, no, you're supposed to go back. So we turned around, went up, and by that time she was in the house and I knocked on the door. I said, hey, I haven't actually met her yet. So I met her, said, hey, I'm Eli. And of course, you know, she knew me, but it was, I'm really bad with names sometimes. But it was so I said, hey, we just feel like God, we're supposed to give this meal to you guys. And she said, okay, sure, that's awesome. And we dropped off the meal and prayed for her, blessed her, and then went about our way. And I got a text later on that from a friend of mine said, hey, do you realize you dropped a meal off at my mom's house? And I was like, I had no idea. The lady that we met that's at the door was not my friend's mom. And he said, this is an amazing story. You won't believe this, but they had been out, the mother had been out delivering meals with another team. We dropped her a bag off at her house while she was out delivering meals. But catch this. This is amazing. God's just got an incredible way of working. She had felt that she was supposed to give a meal to one of the ladies that is a single mom that she does daycare for during the week. But when she finally spoke up about it, they were out of meals with their team. And she was disappointed. She's like, man, maybe I missed it. Maybe I wasn't supposed to do this. And the next morning, when she got home, there was a meal in her house. So the next morning when that woman showed up to drop off her kids and go about her work day, she was able to bless that single mom with a meal who just broke down weeping in her living room. And she, I mean, come on. That's not a coincidence. And you know, we could have passed on, oh, this is someone from our church. We're not supposed to deliver the meal here. But red sweatshirt and blue jeans. And it was like God wanted us to do this. And I had no idea why. And when he first texted me, and said, that was my mom's house. I said, oh, we missed it. But man, God, it was a God appointment. And he knew that young woman who was struggling as a single mom needed that meal. And what an amazing way God works. You can't make that up. And those stories, guys, those experiences that God experienced, that we had last weekend, even if you weren't there, you're blessed by the stories of your brothers and sisters, of our church family. There's no guilt for not going, but there's more opportunities ahead. But isn't it amazing how God just stirs up faith in the life that we experience from doing something like that as a church is better than almost any, I mean, you can't put a price tag on it. And the way that we felt energized and as we came into that meal that night and shared a meal together as a church, just that the atmosphere of God's, of the joy, the overwhelming presence of God and his pleasure over us, his people activating to go be his hands, feet is indescribable. And I want to tell you something. That experience is closer to normal Christianity than we realize. That feeling of joy and his presence flowing out of us and just the amazing experience of living an adventure with God is actually supposed to be the norm for us as Christians. And it's so easy for us to get set to fix our sights on the present, on the moment, on the task at hand, and forget we're called to according to his purpose. We're meant to live to give. We're in the Live to Give series. Live to give life. Live to give life. And our key verse for today is going to be in Philemon 1:6. Well, it's just Philemon 6. It's only one chapter. Real easy. If you want to knock out a chapter, a book of the Bible, just do Philemon. It's really fun. But go to Philemon 6, Philemon verse 6, and I want to read this with you. Or you can read it on the screen behind me because we help you out a little bit. It says this, and I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. There's a lot packed into this, that we have this action, this generosity that comes from our faith. See, we're naturally supposed to overflow. We're naturally supposed to give. It's part of who we are when we become Christians. That we have this ability to, you know, to understand and experience God's love. You know, there's sometimes we get to the point as Christians, there's an imbalance. Some people really focus on trying to understand. They want to know it all and have everything prepared and have all the head knowledge before they step out and do anything. There's an imbalance sometimes in the body of Christ where we kind of are overtrained a little bit. We know a lot more about Scripture than we actually do. Is that true sometimes? Man, we can listen to podcasts, watch YouTube videos. We can have access to every translation of the Bible, easily get all these things. We can get knowledge all the time, and we can forget the other part, which is experience. Now, there's others that say, hey, I just want to experience God. I want to live in His presence. I want to enjoy that. But they never grow in their understanding. But it says there, we need both. It says that put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Now, I believe this word is an amazing word. It says there, that word that says put into action or activate, it's actually the word energes, which is the same word used in Hebrews 4:12, where it says the word of God is living and active, or living and powerful. There's a power that's meant to flow from us. There's a power that's supposed to be activated in us that fuels generosity that changes the world. Love covers a multitude of sin. And we live in a world with a lot of darkness. But we're given this power inside of us, activated by our faith, that's supposed to encounter this world and shift the atmosphere, change things around us. When we went out into the city last weekend, atmospheres begin to change. When you walked into a home, you literally can walk in and bring the blessing of God into a home, the light of God, where darkness once dwelled. You left a blessing. You left the light. You left a power that was activated from your faith in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You know, we're called to live out generosity, and we're called to have this faith inside of us that's so much more than just a personal Jesus, so much more than just kind of a feel-good, self-help faith. God's calling us, and He's awakening something in our church that's going to continue, that's going to have a ripple effect, that's going to grow as we do this together. Now, what is it that God has made available to us? I want to read John 10:10, and I want to break down this verse really quick. It says, the ESV says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I came that you may have life and life abundantly. How many of you know there's two kingdoms and there's two powers at work, and both of them have a plan for your life? You know the enemy has a plan for your life? What's his plan? Yeah, there, it's pretty straightforward. Steal, kill, destroy. That's a pretty straightforward plan. What's God's plan for you? Life and life. Say it again. Life abundantly. Now, we have these two purposes and plans, and some of us are more familiar with the enemy's plan for our life than God's. Some of us have experienced more destruction, more things stolen from us, more death than the life and life abundantly that God has for us. Some of you, when you read that verse, that second part, the first part you relate to. The second part feels foreign. It feels distant. It feels like, man, how can I even get there? I'm barely getting by. I believe God wants to begin to shift your focus today and show you how to begin to walk in this. And it's important for us to ask the question, what does it mean to have life abundantly? Okay? Because when we hear the word life and life abundantly, we all have a different perspective of what that means. What is life abundantly? Does it mean financial security? Does it mean having that car you've always wanted? Does it mean being able to have a summer home where you get away from the Kansas winter and get to enjoy the warm weather? Does it mean, what is life abundantly? We have a picture of what that means. Does it mean bacon every day? I mean, come on, amen. Yeah, that might be in my picture of life abundantly. Followed by pumpkin pie and some apple. Apple pie is good too, so I'm sorry if I'm making you hungry. What's that? Any kind of pie. Amen. It's going to be on the feast table of heaven. Just wait. All pies, every one you can think of. So what does it look like? What is life abundantly? I want to ask you, I want to give you two scenarios to kind of help illustrate what and make a point here. Which would you choose? What if you could live so that every moment of every day, what you desire and what you will is done perfectly, done for you all the time? Everything that you want other people to do, they do. Everything that you want to have happen around you, everything you want to, how you want to look, how you want to live, what you want to eat, how other people sometimes bug you, it's all gone because they'll do what you want them to do. What if you could live so that your will is done 100% of the time? Or, scenario two, what if you could live so that God's will for your life is done 100% of the time? The God that says in Romans 12:2 that he has he knows the plans he has for you, good, pleasing, and perfect plans. The God that's a perfect father, that's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, he's eternal, he knows the future. He knows what he has for you, and he's prepared good works for you. His perfect will to be done in your life every second of every day. Which would you choose? Do you think it's a trick question? So some of you guys were thinking about all the things that you want to have happen in your life, every desire fulfilled, it's tempting. But we all know the right answer, right? Jesus, Sunday school answer. I choose Jesus, right? Like, that's the right answer. That's what I need to tell the pastor. Now the question is, if we had those two scenarios placed before us, and we know we should choose God's will, which one do we truly live for? Which one do we truly live for? What is life abundantly in the world is everything you want happening for you. See? The pursuit of happiness is about my desires, my kingdom coming, and my will being done. It's this idea out there that I can find happiness if everything would just go my way. Is that true? That's what people are pursuing. That's what they're looking for. And they have a plan. They have a retirement plan. They have all these things. It's all to line up so that they can live life to their fullest. Right? Now, is that real life? We all know the end of that story. Those that get it to the top of their ladder, so to speak, and they realize the ladder was stuck on the wrong wall. They realize this, as a very, very wealthy man once said, that he'd been pursuing this idea of life and pursuit of happiness and wealth his whole life, and he got it, all that he needed. But he said, riches is like a paper bag. I've used this analogy before. Everybody wants the bag, but when you get the bag, you realize it's empty. That's the pursuit of happiness in and of our own strength. That's the idea of us as humans seeing our kingdom come and our will be done. But let me tell you, and I know you know this, life abundantly, when Jesus said he came to give you life and life abundantly, what is that? It is not my will being done, but his. The abundant life is the will of God being done 100% perfectly in my life all the time. That's what I truly want. In fact, sometimes we don't even know what's good for us. Is that true? We got an idea, but we don't know what's in the future. God does. You know, with my kids, they have a little bit of a limited scope on life, right? And they get these ideas in their head of something that they want and they can't live without. Have you ever had that happen with your kids? It's Christmas time and that giant Target catalog showed up in the mail, which I didn't think catalogs were big anymore, but apparently they know what to do. They can get something tangible that sits on the table, and then my kids just start pouring over that thing. And all of a sudden, they're not happy. They're not content. There's something in there that they need, and if they don't, it's what they really have to have, Dad. And then all of a sudden, it's like circling things and all these ideas and all these toys. And we realized about a day and a half into this, we got to get rid of that stinking catalog. Because it was not creating contentment in our house. It was creating discontent. It was creating a me mentality and this anticipation of Christmas that was somehow going to be the best ever, and everything in that, every one of their will was going to be done out of that catalog. Was that the best for them? Some of those things would have been horrible. I mean, I can't even give you examples, but there's toys that they've asked for. Like, no, you would hate that. But in their mind at that moment, because somebody else has it, it's the best thing ever. Our will and our sight is limited. I want to tell you this. Your life will not be complete, and you will not reach your true potential unless you begin to live for the will of God to be done in your life. You will not fulfill the dreams, the plans, the purpose, the potential for your life to be amazing, to have an eternal impact, unless you begin to say, God, I want your will to be done. Not my will, but yours be done. That's the beginning of abundant life. That's the beginning of beginning to live for the two greatest commandments in the world, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Life is so easily about us, but God's created you guys to be part of the game. He's created you to be active in your faith. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now I want to ask you, who's we? Who's we? Us. So sometimes I think we read that verse for pastors and life group leaders and really spiritual people are God's masterpiece. And he's created them so they can do good things he planned for them to do. Do you realize God's equipped, he's given us as pastors, we're the ones that are supposed to hand out equipment. It says that the pastors, elders, prophets, teachers, all those evangelists are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I'm a tool delivery boy. I'm supposed to give you guys things to help you do the work of the ministry. I'm supposed to model it, yes, but I'm also supposed to equip you. I'm supposed to motivate you. I'm supposed to stir you up. That's why we set up an event like we did last weekend, to awaken something in you so you don't just do it once a year. You begin to step out and live the good works that God's prepared in advance for you to do. Not me. Not just me. Us. We're his masterpiece. You're part of his plan coming. And you know what's amazing about that? Look at that. He says, I planned these good things for you to do long ago. Do you know what that means? You were written into God's story. His redemptive plan for the universe, his perfect will being done, includes your participation. Good works that you can do, only you can do. Isn't that amazing? It was already written. There's this amazing story of God's love overflowing to the earth, drawing the hearts of sons and daughters back to him. Your name is in the story. You have a part to play. Do you understand? And your life, your abundant life is found when you begin to find your place in his story. Not try to get him to rewrite your story. You find your place. You don't say, God, what is your will for my life? You say, God, what is your will? What are you doing around me, and how can I join in? What's my part to play? And when we begin to see it, it's about him and about others, and we take our eyes off of our own problems. We have real problems. We have real suffering. God wants to heal, redeem, and restore those things. But then he wants you to be blessed, to be a blessing. He wants to fill you, and he's a God that always overfills. He doesn't give just enough. Do you realize that? That's the abundant life that he's talking about there. God's desire is for you to overflow. God never just fills you up to just enough. He always overflows. Do you realize that? Even when you don't feel like your life is overflowing with generosity, God's plan for you is to begin to pour that out. Can I tell you something? That verse about life and life abundantly, that you're like, man, I'm not living that. Some verses you don't understand until you begin to obey. Some things you have to step out and say, Lord, I want to live for your will to be done. And then all of a sudden you're like, now I get that verse. I get what it means to feel life and life abundantly overflowing from out of me. I'm not trying to attain and grasp for this life that God has for me anymore. I'm beginning to experience it because I stepped out. I said, Lord, I don't know if I even have that much to give, but I'm going to get in a car and I'm going to go around town and I'm going to go deliver some Thanksgiving meals to people and see what happens. And all of a sudden you come back overflowing with life. Overflowing with joy that you haven't experienced in months and months of just going through the motions. You were meant to give life. There's some hindrances that keep us from making this, and I want to share this with you really briefly before I go into one more step. We have the two things that I want to touch on that I believe hold us back from God's experiencing this abundant life of living for God's kingdom. The first is lake Christians. Lake Christians. We have a tendency, especially in the in the Western world, to live a kind of a self-focused Christianity. That we have to get healthy, we have to get better, and when that happens, then we'll begin to bless people. We have this idea that we're so focused on our pride, this private, personal relationship with God, which is so needed and so valuable to have that, but it's meant to always overflow. And we're so focused on this kind of like, I'm just getting by with Jesus. I go in, and then I have no energy really for anybody else. But as I said, God's given you, he said, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. What's lacking? Nothing. Everything you need. It's more than enough. Blessed to be a blessing. The other thing I think that happens sometimes is we exclude ourselves. It's kind of like if you were in a basketball team. I'm sorry, I'm going to use a sports analogy, but I'm a guy and I'm watching KU basketball right now, so it's going to happen. It's sometimes we bench ourselves when the coach doesn't bench us. Sometimes we are called to be on the, like, you know what? The minute you get saved, you're part of the team. The minute you get saved, he puts you in the game. He doesn't send you through hours and years and months of training and biblical studies before you can begin to share your faith with people. You can sharpen your skills. You can hone those things. That's all good stuff to learn and grow in our understanding. But you're called the minute you get saved. In fact, some of the most baby Christians are the best at getting in and loving people and of living this abundant life. He's called and entrusted you to be part of his team. Think about this. We exclude ourselves so easily, but think about some of the scenarios in the Bible. The Samaritan woman, she'd been divorced 5 times. She was living with somebody out of wedlock, and Jesus called her, poured his love into her, and said, now go preach the gospel to your whole city. Tell them to come to me. She just did it. She just went, okay, and she just did it. And then he went to the area of the Gadarenes, and there's this demoniac with a legion of demons inside of him, running around naked, and he preaches, he gets saved, healed, set free in a few minutes. By the end of the day, he said, Jesus, I want to go with you. He's like, no, go share with everybody in your region what I did for you. He just made him the regional director of missions over the Gadarenes. In one day, that's what the love of God does to people. He was in the game. He's like, no, Jesus, like, he's like, I want to go with you. Jesus, like, no, they need you here. I need you here. And his one-day training program gone from Legion of Demons to Director of Missions. I mean, that's amazing. But we write ourselves off because we don't know enough. He used an embezzling tax collector to write the first book of the New Testament. I mean, come on. You're in his game. You're part of his team. You're a part of his plan, his perfect will being done. And when you get in the game, when you step in and say, okay, Lord, I don't know what I have to give, but I'm going to start giving it. All of a sudden, you begin to experience life when you live to give life. How do we live this out together? The Bible says that if you give even a cup of cold water to the least of one of my followers in my name, you will surely be rewarded. The key is not just to stop everything you're doing and hand out Thanksgiving meals every day. I wish we could do that. And maybe there'll be a day we can. But the key is to walk through life, to see his kingdom come, his will be done, to walk and do what he says in his name, to live in his name. I can serve my kids in the name of Jesus to bless them and it can have an eternal reward. Do you realize that? Or I can be resentful, and I can be tired, and I can just go through the motions, and I can live for to be a blessing, or I can live just to survive. One way is going to bring abundant life. The same actions done in the name of Jesus, and you by no means lose your reward. That's amazing. He's so practical. Hebrews 10:24 says this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So we are called to spur one another on, to activate one another. And last week, when we kind of jump out and step out and do something like we did together, it's a motivating act, isn't it? It helps us begin to step out and do something different, to live a little different than that self-focused lifestyle that we kind of default to. So we're going to do something here. I want to have the ushers, you can help if you want to, but ushers are going to come forward, and they're going to hand something out to you, and I'm going to explain it as they hand it out. We thought of a creative way to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Take one of these decks of cards. Yeah, there's a deck of cards in each pack. Everybody needs one. So you're not excluded. Don't bench yourself. Get a deck of cards out of that package. I want to explain these to you. Just, they're going to hand them through the rows. If there's any ushers that can help us finish that, that'd be great. Thank you, guys. See, we live in this season that we're in is called the season of giving, right? Yes? I know they're handing out cards, but if you can focus, I want to share this with you. This is the season of giving. But how many of you guys know when Black Friday rolls around, it's not really about giving a whole lot? It's more the season of getting. It's a season of consumerism. It's the Target catalog, toy catalog that comes in the mail that makes my kids go crazy. We live in and it gets into a bit of chaos, right? How many of you guys really don't enjoy the chaos and consumerism that plagues our culture this time of year? Anybody with me? So guess what? I believe as Christians, we can live in a bit of rebellion against the chaos. We can live and maybe bring a revolution of giving back to our culture. We can actually live to be a blessing and to bring peace, because we have the gift of peace in us. We can bring peace to the chaos and the stress that people begin to get wrapped up in this time of year. These cards are called unselfie cards. Now, you may have never, how many of you guys have never taken a selfie in your life? Anybody over there? Okay, good. So, I want to say this. You may not be a millennial that takes a ton of selfies and then edits them 15 times and 15 filters to post them on Instagram, but you probably still deal with the challenge of living for your own focus or focusing on Jesus and his plan for your life. We still live a little bit selfish, right? Even if we don't take selfies. So don't exclude yourself just because it says unselfie on the front. But we actually started this unselfie campaign with the students, the college, young adult, and the high school and middle school students in our church a couple weeks ago. I gave them a deck of cards with 20. They had 20. I've slimmed it down to 10 for you because I've given you a little less time. 20 cards. You have 10 cards that have unselfie ideas, mission objectives on the back of them. Every card is different, okay? And those cards are meant to motivate you and spur you on to love and good works. They're meant to be a reminder, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in the chaos, and all of a sudden you blink and it's going to be Christmas. But what if for the next 30 days we go out on a mission as a church? What if we begin to live a little bit intentional to say, God, what do you have for me today? What is your adventure? I'm not satisfied with just going out one day and handing out some Thanksgiving meals. I want to do this more. I want to be involved in what you're doing around me. I want to look for that mom who looks stressed out in the parking lot at the grocery store and pray for her. I want to help a neighbor who I know is having a challenging time this year. I want to bless people. I want to live intentionally. Because we could get caught up in the chaos. We could go through the motions and just make it through the Christmas season, couldn't we? Or We can step back and say, God, you have abundant life that you've poured into me, and I want to give it to others. So some of these cards, there's a whole bunch of different cards in here. Some of them are going to be easier for you than others. We all have our areas that we kind of default to. This one says, pray in the morning for God to show you someone to look for today. Go pray for them when you see them. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. He would pray, he would look to see, and he would join the Father in his work. Others in there say, leave an amazing tip for someone and write just a note of encouragement for them. Or pay for someone's coffee or food in the line behind you. Do you know how exciting it can be to begin to live each day for Jesus instead of just surviving? That's abundant life. And I believe if we begin to do this together, it looks amazing. And this, the activation of this church, not just one day a year, but every single day we walk out, the ripple effect that this amazing group of people can have in this city is beyond what I can imagine. We had one of our guys that had these cards. He sells cars in town, and he just went to one of the customers, which typically you're trying to take something from a customer, and that customer had a backache. He said, hey, man, I don't want to sell you anything. I just want to pray for your back. Prays for the guy's back, and he gets healed. But he's so, yeah, come on, that's amazing. That's amazing. And he's supposed to be, you know how used car salesmen are not known to be the greatest people. But when the kingdom comes into that car lot, things change. And, you know, it actually rocked the guy's world. He didn't even know what to do, so he just walked away. He was so shocked that his back had been healed. But let me tell you, that man is marked. It looks like one of our high school students sitting at the table, and she wrote me a note saying, you know, Pastor Eli, I thought in my mind I saw this person sitting by themselves. And one of the cards I gave them was go sit with someone who's alone at work or at school. In my mind, I say, oh, I have till December 24th to get this thing done. Because Pastor Eli gave me 20 cards. I can wait on this. But God reminder, you're on a mission, and I've called you. So she gets up out of her seat. And this is not easy to do at high school, folks. Walks over and sits by this person. The person was so shocked, didn't even know what to do. But she sat with them, talked with them, asked if she could pray for them. They said, no, I don't want any prayer. But she walked back to her table, prayed at her table for that person that she just touched. And you know that person's marked, no matter how they responded in that moment. Sometimes these are amazing moments and people bawl and cry and get healed. Sometimes you just touch someone with God's love. But let me tell you, whenever you step out of love, love never fails. You might feel like you messed up. You might feel like, oh man, I didn't share the 4 points of the gospel. But man, love never fails. Can I get the worship team to come on up? Can you guys stand with me? I want us to just take a moment to respond together and begin to activate and stir you up for what God wants to do in and through you over these next few weeks of this holiday season. We're called to live to give life. You have life to give. You're part of God's team. You're in the game, and it's time to begin to step out and live what God's called you to live. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait, and we're going to celebrate some of the stories of what God's doing, hopefully, throughout the next several weeks. But guys, don't stop with just a Thanksgiving celebration and outreach. Don't stop living to see God's will be done and his kingdom come in your family, in your workplace, in the world around you. Because that's when you'll begin to experience abundant life. I believe there's two groups that I believe God wants to minister to today. And you know, as I'm sharing this idea of abundant life, and I shared earlier that some of you guys feel like, man, I'm just surviving. I'm more identified with the enemy's plan than God's plan for my life. And I believe God wants to minister to some people today. He wants to pour into you to overflowing. If you've been in this kind of surviving place, you're like, I know Jesus, I believe in him, but I'm just getting by. I believe God wants to touch you today. I believe he wants to pour out his love and his healing power on you like you have not felt in a long time. As you step out in faith and say, God, I want to start to live for your will to be done. I want to take my eyes off myself. We sing the song that says, my eyes above what it looks like. I will only see what you've promised me. And God wants to shift some of your focus today. And some of you guys, you've just been in a place where you've been kind of had a do not disturb door on the door of your life. You've like, God, I'm busy. I got a lot going on. and I don't really have time for you to interrupt my life to touch other people. I don't have time for this. I'm just busy. I'm stressed. I got too much going on, Lord. And you have other people that have time in their life. Those college students, those high schoolers, they can go do these cards, but I'm just overwhelmed. You got a do not disturb door on the door of your life. And God's asking today, are you willing to let me interrupt your plans? Are you willing to let me step in and awaken something in you that you don't even know is missing? You've been going through the motions. You come to church on Sundays, but there's just something, a dullness in you that God wants to awaken life. And I just want to pray because, you know, this is a holiday weekend. It's easy just to go through the motions. We're kind of off of our schedule because of family being in town and less sleep or whatever. But I want to pray that God would begin to light a fire in you, that the Holy Spirit would come and begin to show you have a plan. He has a plan and a purpose for you. You're part of his story. You're not a sideline Christian. There's no such thing. So, Father, I pray that can you guys just bow your heads, close your eyes? Let's just pray together. I want to just invite you to activate your faith wherever you're at, whether you've been in a place of surviving. In fact, if that's you, if you're in that place where you've just been like, I've been getting by, I've been barely making it, Pastor Eli, and I don't even know how to start stepping out to be a blessing to others. Would you just raise your hand and let me pray specifically for you? Because I think there's a lot of people that have been in that place. I see your hands. Father, I just have a word, I believe, that's for you guys specifically. God's calling you. He's saying you are no longer a victimized, weak Christian. I've called you an overcomer. I've called you to life and life abundantly, and I will give you my life. You're no longer a slave to fear, to stress, to worry. You're my son and daughter, and I will lift you up as you fix your eyes on me. And I will fill you with my love so much you cannot contain it. You cannot control it. Just let that word sink in. That's for you. No more victim Christians.
As Eli was sharing, I just really felt like the Lord said, when he calls you to do his will, it's always going to look most of the time inconvenient. In a culture that we want everything to be convenient and easy, when God asks us to do something and to pour love into others, a lot of times it looks inconvenient. And we can look at it and we can say, I don't want my life to be inconvenienced by this, Lord. Maybe that person's hard to love or that task is hard to do. But when God calls you to do it, it says when you lose your life, you'll find it. And so that abundant life that he's talking about, he's saying, the Lord says, when you lose your life, you'll find it. Because when he calls you to do something, even though it might seem inconvenient, it's going to bless you beyond what you could ever imagine. And the effects will spill out.
So I just want to pray into that. If you've been in a place where you've maybe allowed circumstances or whatever to keep to put the do not disturb door on your life, and you said, I've just been too busy for this. If you're wanting and inviting God to interrupt your plans and do something amazing, would you just raise your hands with me? And I just want to invite us to allow God to interrupt us, to allow God to interrupt our will and our plans to do amazing things in and through you and in and through this church. So, Father, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to interrupt our lives, to come in and show us whether it's when it may be inconvenient, when it may feel like, man, I'm so overwhelmed, so stressed, I have no time. God, interrupt us. Stop us by your still small voice and show us. Give us opportunities to be a blessing to the world around us, Lord. Show us how to awaken to the life and life abundantly that you've called us to live. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to interrupt. We invite you to invade our day-to-day, our normal life, and do amazing things. We say, here I am, send me. Lord, thank you that you're going to do incredible things through people that are willing, through people who step out and say, Lord, I'm here, I'm listening, and I want to obey. I want to walk in what you've called me to walk in. Thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do this year, Lord, all the lives you're going to touch, Father, that you've already begun to move in this church and beyond, Lord. Thank you for the ripple effect of your love changing the spiritual atmosphere of this city through this church. Father, you're so good. We trust you for the overflow, for the life, for the wisdom to walk this out. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Hey, let's get into worship. We're going to go out with joy. We're going to go out with the joy of the Lord as our strength and worship him and be a blessing in our city this week. Amen. Let's worship.